not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, 55 degrees. The wind is out of the southwest at 9 miles an hour. Gust up to 13. It's not too bad out there. Humidity's at 27. And listening to Jared on his new news, we have some grass fires roaming around out here in Oklahoma. 10 fire departments are at that one up there by Sterling. It's a big one. And that's big grass area up there, if I remember right. I think I've worked up there on a well or two. But we will have the Long Ranger forecast update coming up later in the show, provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden down in Hobart, Oklahoma. Today, I got Cassandra Osher. Did I get it?
No, you did.
I did.
You did.
I've been working on this since yesterday. She's with the North Fork Conservation District here in Beckham County. She's in here to talk to us about some updates on all kinds of stuff. We'll get to that later on in the second segment. But right now, cash grain prices in Oklahoma is of 11 a.m. Hard red winter wheat is $7.89. Corn's at $6.02 a bushel. Milo's at $6.05. Soybeans are at $12.90. Lean hog is at 84 cents a pound. Feeder cattle are at $1.65. Palm oil is down, dang it, $5,160 per ton. Cotton's at $1.13 a pound. And oats are at $6.98 a bushel. I was wanting to say a pound, but it's a bushel. Anyway, hey, I'm new at this game. You guys, bear with me. Soybean and corn futures were lower in overnight trading on technical selling and some optimism about rain in South America. Investors likely are squaring their positions ahead of the end of the year, with some who were long the market or bet on higher prices is an easier way to say that. Selling contracts and liquidating positions before December 31st. In other words, they probably got a tax problem. On the weather front, some limited relief is expected through Friday in parts of central and southeastern Brazil, the Commodity Weather Group said in a report yesterday. Parts of Paraguay and central Brazil may see some drought relief next Tuesday through Thursday, the forecaster said. And you guys wonder why I always talk about Brazil and those other places on their weather. It's amazing how much their weather pattern down there affects our markets in the United States on grain. So this is the reason why I do this. Active rain pattern in northern Brazil aids growth, but some excess rain and flooding concerns persist in the northeastern 10 to 15% of the soybean growing areas. Another thing, Brazil is the largest country, or they grow the most soybeans of any country in the world. Still, it's not all rosy, as drought stress now is at 35 to 40% of the growing regions in Brazil, the world's largest exporter of soybeans. See, they knew it. I already knew that, so I got ahead of them already. But most of Paraguay will narrow only slightly next week. Wheat futures were narrowly lower overnight on the slack demand for U.S. supplies. Exports of the grain since the start of its marketing year on June 1st now stand at 10.6 million metric tons, down 22% from the same time frame last year, according to the data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Overseas buyers have committed to buy 15.8 million metric tons. That's also down 22% from last year. Soybean futures for November deliveries dropped 8.5 cents to $13.59 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. soy meal fell $1.90 to $407.20 a short ton, while soy oil declined 0.18 cents to 56.49 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery fell 2.5 cents to $6.25 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery lost 3.5 cents to $7.80 a bushel, while Kansas City futures dropped 4.25 to $8.17.5 a bushel. China likely will approve use of domestically made genetically modified corn varieties after a public comment period lasting through January 17, according to the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Affairs, they said in their statement they made. The companies making the new GM varieties are China National Tree Seed Corporation, China Agriculture University, and I'm not even going to go through all these Chinese names here, but anyway, you get the picture on that deal. But anyway, one of them has biotechnology. See, I can say that name, the ministry said. After, I mean, there's some stuff going on there. I'm thinking, Hong Kong, wrong time, biotech. There, I got it. You guys get that? After the public comment period, it's expected that the government will approve the new varieties. Still, China doesn't allow sowing of genetically modified corn or soybeans, though it does allow importation of such varieties for use in the livestock feed. The Asian country is expected to produce 272.6 million tons of corn this year, and that's up from 260 million tons a year earlier. Imports are pegged at 26 million metric tons, making China the world's biggest buyer of the grain. It also is the biggest soybean importer. China will use 214 million metric tons of corn to feed livestock, easily topping the 143.5 million tons the U.S. is scheduled to use for animal feed. Total corn consumption is seen at 294 million metric tons in the Asian nation, behind only the United States, which is expected to use 313.2 million metric tons of corn in the 2021-22 marketing year, according to the USDA. Well, wind chill warnings and advisories are in effect for all of North Dakota and parts of Montana, South Dakota, and Minnesota this morning, according to the National Weather Service. Life-threatening cold is expected as wind chills are forecast to drop as low as minus 50 degrees. That's chilly. Frostbites on exposed skin can occur in as little as 10 minutes, according to the agency. Don't be outside too long. When outside, make sure you wear appropriate clothing. Proper clothing will not be suit and tie and non-weatherproof, non-insulated boots. That's my thing. Further south in the southern plains, meanwhile, red flag warnings have been issued amid extremely dry weather in the region. That'll be us. That's Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. We are in those red flag warnings. Please, you heard me say it 10 times in the last 3 weeks. Don't be that person. Winds will be sustained from 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 miles an hour expected. Humidity is forecast to drop as low as 19% today. Speaking of humidity, for you folks out there, especially in the Ouachita County, that know the famous Jeff Schneeberger, he called me this morning to tell me what humidity means. Well, I'm not going to say it on the radio, but you guys got his phone number. Call him and have him explain to you what humidity is. He said you can Google it, and I don't believe him. But anyway, give him a call. Critical fire weather conditions are expected to develop this afternoon across the west central and southwestern Texas Panhandle, including western Oklahoma. There you have it. Before I go to break, this gentleman here has a litter of livestock guardian pups, and I know they're good because I know this man and he's picky. They are almost 8 weeks old. If you're interested in some livestock guardian pups, call him at 580-821-6567. 821-6567. He's here south of Elk, and he raises good dogs. And he's got, I think, 7 pups in this litter. So anyway, if you're interested in some livestock guardian pups, he's your man. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on the Paragon app. And we're streaming live on KECO, if you don't know that yet. And if you miss a show or something, you can always go to KECOFM.com. And the boss is on the way to get the new penny news that'll be out tomorrow, hot off the press. So anyway, we got all kinds of information for you guys. So when I get back, Cassandra and I'll be talking about what's going on in the ag world in Beckham County with the North Fork Conservation District. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Back. Oh, I got to talk to the famous Jim Davis today. He was on a mission to go somewhere to buy some cattle or look at some cattle. It's been so long since I talked to him. When I worked over at Foss on the K&D Farm and Ranch, he was the neighbors over there. He's a good guy. Got some beautiful cattle. Well, his daughter was on the show here a month or two ago. So anyway, it's a big ag family over there. 53 degrees. The winds are southwest, 10 miles an hour. According to the National Weather Service, the humidity is 32, but the mezzanine has us at 27. Not too big a difference. Well, in the studio with me today from her office, well, she's here, but she came from her office at SARE. Her office is in the NRCS and the FSA building over in Beckham County. Cassandra Osher, did I get it right again?
Yeah.
See, I got it right again. With the North Fork
of Red River.
Yeah, of the Red River. How do I miss that? Because I live on it. The North Fork of the Red River Conservation District. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. It's easier to say North Fork
Conservation. I agree.
It's easier. But anyway, if you want to get technical, you got a lot of things going on.
We do.
And yeah. Last time I seen you, it was at the deal north of town.
Yes.
At the, what do they call that project? It's got a number.
23D?
Yeah.
Is that for the rehab?
Yeah, for the rehab.
Yeah. That's still ongoing.
Still.
making some good progress on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but that deal you guys had for those kids out there.
Oh, yes. Oh, outdoor classroom.
Yeah. Marcus still talks about it from the pack saddle, and he loved it. And the wind was just howling.
The second time we had it, yes, it was.
And the kids weren't dressed right, but they didn't care.
Well, some had blankets. I was like, you are smart.
Yeah, but I think there were some adults out there that wasn't smart.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a good time, and appreciate you guys inviting our Quail Forever chapter out there.
You're welcome.
I mean, anyway, so you have a new employee.
We do.
What's his name? Where's he from?
Dustin Burrows. He grew up around the Cheyenne area, and he lives here in Elk City now.
Right.
But we were able to hire him on as a part-time feral swine control technician, part-time watershed dam
inspector.
Yeah, so it's... He's got two things going on. We had to shuffle some things around with our employees, but we now have three employees. big office.
So what's his main job duty on the feral hog part side?
So his part is to work with the aphis trappers and contact landowners who have problems with feral hogs. So any kind of damage, if it's to your crops, if it's to your rangeland, even if it's your yard, because there's some people that have damaged their yard and they want to document that.
Right.
There's people who have had damage to grain silos, anywhere they're storing grain or any kind of commodity. There has been damage. Like they've come across all kinds of unique situations with what feral hogs damage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, wait till they start planting this coming spring, peanuts.
Yeah.
He's going to get some calls.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the... I'm not kidding you. Those... hogs put their nose in the ground, their snout in the ground, and yes. They make a perfect feral. As soon as they plant them, Gary Ripto down there, South Carter, he had lost 17 rows on a pivot or something like that. Mm-hmm. If I remember, I don't remember. It was a bunch of rows. Wow. They just went through there.
You know, I actually saw that in person. I went out with Dustin and some of the guys from OCC to just kind of get an idea of what they're doing out there. And yeah, I saw that for myself. Of like, they just make a perfect line, and sometimes it's like just barely visible of where they took their snout, and they were getting wheat seeds on that field.
Oh yeah,
but it's just crazy.
Yeah, they it's perfect. It's like equipment did it,
mm-hmm.
and they just go through there. And I've seen them make big holes in Bermuda grass where there's some water, and they make the bedding in it. But and then I have them in my place bad now. In Greer County, I hadn't had any till 2 years ago, and then when they show up, they come in a big way.
Oh, yes.
And it's partially my fault because I stacked some peanut hay down there.
Oh, I've heard that they really like that.
They do, and I stacked, I'd unloaded in the bar ditch. I was going to come back the next morning to move them back in the pasture, and I got there. There's only one bale left that I can move.
Oh, geez.
Overnight.
Yeah, I mean, they come in a big sounder. We have game cameras up monitoring different places to see if there's any activity.
Right.
And we've gotten quite a few pictures where there's quite a few right
there. So how did this program come about? Is this for Beckham County only?
But this, our part where Dustin is working is Beckham and Roger Mills.
Oh, and Roger Mills. Yes. Okay.
So it started off at OCC, the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. They wrote a grant for controlling the feral swine, and they got it. They did a pilot project with some other counties, and then they wrote another one to go out a second round of for the grant that included Beckham and Roger Mills.
I got you.
So that's where we had, I was a full-time person and we had a one part-time person. So we've been asking for another full-time person for a while, and that's how they made this happen. So Dustin is our employee. We get funding through OCC, but he's our employee.
Right.
The other feral swine control technicians that OCC hired are fully OCC employees.
Right.
So
what's
we're
OCC?
A little bit different. Oklahoma Conservation Commission.
Okay. All right. So his job, he's kind of a
liaison
between the trapper for OCC, right?
The trapper's through APHIS.
Oh,
so
is
it's
it?
Not they're not employed through OCC.
Okay, I thought they was.
No.
They're APHIS, right?
Yeah, so any, like, the OCC technicians and then Dustin, they're not allowed to do any of the dispatching.
Right.
So, yes, they work with landowners. Their primary thing is to go out, talk to people, get their contact information, get permission to be on their land to do the trapping. and then also help the trapper to go out and set up traps, take them down, transfer them.
Well, that's a good thing because the trappers, they don't waste a lot of time, but it takes a lot of time for them to go around and get all these permission stuff.
Yes, on
written permission, sign, and all this other stuff, and look at the deal. I bet the trappers are happy. Who is it? Is it Greg in Beckham County?
Yes, Greg Shaw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Cowboy at Atwoods, I call him. He's the one that made fun of me a couple of things I said here a couple months ago on the radio. But anyway, hey, are you that Jimmy Clark on Today and Ag? Go away, Greg.
But yeah, Dustin's been going out with him, just seeing, helping Greg trap and just seeing how things are done. And they've been building traps at our office out in the maintenance shop and doing some modifications. It's been really cool to see what they've been up to. Yeah.
Well, this program just now started.
Yes. It started technically in 2020. Everything got delayed because of COVID.
Right.
So I think the grant is technically up next year.
Right.
But they're hoping to extend it. The goal is to get a control program for the hogs in every county in Oklahoma that has a problem. So this is not the end. Like, right. This is just the very first building blocks of the program.
Yeah, because you see on the federal side, you see that they finally, in the last year or two, recognize that feral hogs are a major problem.
Yes.
And I know the state, Oklahoma State Agriculture Department, has changed laws in the last 2 to 3 years about you can't transport them across state line or bring them this way or take them that way or whatever. Because I know there's a lot of guys that use them for hunting ranches.
Yes.
And God bless them. I know they make money and everything, but
it creates problems.
It creates problems. Yes. And I mean, high fence, no. I mean, they can dig out from under them. Well, I mean, we shot some here about a month ago that got into the high fence.
Oh.
It was fun. we didn't get them all, but we put a big dent in them.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, that Dustin and Greg have been telling me is that, like, you can get a couple, you know, but that doesn't really make a dent. You have to get the full sounder. So that's right. Something like for trapping.
Right.
They might trap for a couple of days to be able to get that full sounder.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I love to hunt. And, yes, I love to shoot hogs. I hate them with a passion, to be honest with you. But I know I got some buddies out here that are going to start texting me here in a minute. But. Yes, it's fun to go out there and hunt the hogs and shoot one at a time or two at a time and go on, but it doesn't solve the problem.
No.
Oh, we'll take care of them for you.
Two
years later, I still got as many or many more left in there. I understand they like to hunt,
but trapping
is the way.
It is, because you have to take into account how many litters they can produce and how many in a litter. Like, it's exponential growth.
Do you know?
I don't know the exact number, so I'm not going to say.
Dang.
So I don't have to go back on it. But at our event that we're going to have, our outreach event, we'll kind of cover some of that stuff. But, yeah, you have to put a bigger dent than just one or two here or there.
Well, if you're just joining us on Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO, I have in the studio with me Cassandra Osher. I got it. I think I got it down right.
Yep.
I wanted to say Usher, but it's Osher. She's with the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District. Anyway, she's joining me in the deal, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, she's going to talk about that event she does have coming up and some other things that are happening in our conservation district. As a matter of fact, you and I have a date next Tuesday at Elk Lake where we're going to do some rehab out there, put things back to natural habitat.
Yes, I'm excited for that.
Cool. We'll be right back.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 10th. 1,715 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 357 brought 229. 4 at 541 brought 158. 9 at 628 brought 144. 6 at 664 brought 142. 10 at 749 brought 151. 13 at 983 brought 142.50. 10 head of heifers at 349 brought 159. 4 at 440 brought 138. 6 at 535 brought 141.50. 12 at 608 brought 132.50. 7 at 697 brought 136. 17 at 1046 brought 122.25. $6.75. Butcher cows were 10 to 84. Bred cows, 600 to 1470. Butcher bulls, 35 to 94. Pairs brought 1150 to 1625. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Greg, if you're listening out there, Mr. Shaw, big time trapper man, you're coming on the show sooner than you think.
Surprise.
It's orders, and if you don't, I'm going to call your boss at the state capitol. You're coming. I know her. So anyway, 58 degrees, humidity is 25, the winds are out of the south-southwest at 11 miles an hour, gusting up to a whopping 15 miles an hour. In the studio with me from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District is Cassandra Osher. I got her down, but I'll screw it up before the show's over. But anyway, she's in here, and we're talking about the... I know the program's not new, but it is to Beckham County and Roger Mills. I'm glad you told me that. I thought it was just Beckham County, but it's Roger Mills.
Yep.
That's good. And that's good because he knows a lot of people in Roger Mills County.
Yes, he does.
Cool. Anyway, the state is trying to get a handle on this feral hog deal, and they need to. It's got way worse. My understanding, Greer County's hog population has multiplied so bad in the last 2 years, and I can vouch for it because of my place. And there's no reason for them suckers to be on my place. But we've been in a drought, and water resources down in the breaks and anywhere in Greer County are very limited except for the rivers. And it's I don't know why they're down there, but they said there's more hogs in Greer County than Beckham and Roger Mills combined now.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
And that's coming from the trappers.
Yeah.
And you got to believe them because they'd know.
Yeah, they're doing the work.
The other day, I pulled around the corner, headed up to the gate to go in there and check the cows, and 11 of them little punks ran right across the road. And I got the machine gun out. By the time I got out and got the gate open and hauled down through there, they were gone, and they get a mosquito. That's the bad thing about, especially in Greer County and even Harmon and some parts of Kiowa County, when something gets in those mesquites,
it's not coming out.
Well, you can't find them. So anyway, so you got some forms we were looking at during break that it's a not a must, but it's asking farmers and ranchers, landowners, whatever.
Yes. Whenever anybody has damage and Dustin comes out and is working with you, we'd really like to capture some data to quantify the amount of damage, like on a monetary value side, to show the true problem that feral hogs are causing. And also that justifies us asking for more money to continue the project.
Right.
So just anything from crop damages, livestock damages, property damage, anything with stored commodity damage, because that's come up. any cultural damages. We like to try to document natural resource damages, because like if you have a waterway put in by NRCS, like that's a lot of money, and if it gets destroyed and you have to redo it, it's
not, a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money again.
Yeah, and usually that doesn't get covered by NRCS. I mean, that's usually like a landowner cost. So any personal damage management efforts that people have done, if they've done their own trapping, if they have any wildlife or feral swine leases, for they'd like to kind of quantify that. So if there's a dent in the wildlife hunting leases, then they can quantify that loss as well.
Right.
Or if there's any operational increases due to feral swine. So extra time you have to do X, Y, or Z because of the damage that the swine have caused.
Okay.
So that's something that we're hoping that landowners can help us with that data, so we can justify this is a good program. We want to be able to continue it.
Yeah, because the more paperwork the government has, the better chances. My boss, man, he's looking at me. I think that was the look he was telling me the ribs are ready.
Oh.
Is that true, Gabe? Anyway, no. That's why he's been going in and out a lot, checking the ribs. Anyway, I have a text message here for a question if you want to answer it.
Hopefully I'll be able to.
Will the hogs... I'm going to let you answer it first, and then I'm going to back you up.
Okay.
Will the hogs chase humans if provoked?
I've heard that they will. Where there's a limitations on how some of our technicians can protect themselves.
Right.
So they have to be aware of that, because that is a threat.
Yep. Especially so. Mamas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mama bears, mama hogs. Yeah.
They're the same thing. They're going to protect. They're going to protect their babies.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think I've told this. Been a while, but last year, one of my neighbors down there said, "Hey, we got some hogs down there. If you guys want to go shoot some there," and so I got busy and I sent my Marine nephew down there with the AR.
Yeah.
And he always has a 45 on his side. And I got on Onyx and the app, uh-huh, and I drew him a picture how to get down. Hey, walk down this draw here and go to this pond.
Yeah.
And go over the dam, and them hogs should be there. Well, he called me back about an hour and a half later, and he said if I ever sent him on a mission like that again, that he was going to shoot his Uncle Jimmy. What happened? He said, well, I was going down that dry bed, like you told me, up to the back of the dam. And he said, it's plum thickets and everything. He said, well, that's where they were bedding when he went through there. And he woke them up, and they were all around him. And he shot a couple of them with his pistols, how close he was.
Bang.
And he got one with the rifle. But he got in the middle of the beds. But common sense will tell you that a female or a sow or a mama pig, let's go with mama pig so everybody understands what it is. Mama pig is going to protect her. If that little pig squeals, that big woman's coming after your butt. And yes, they will. When we're on the river, Sandy and I take the dogs down there on the river and play in the water or do whatever we're doing down there, I've always got a pistol with me. Because you never know when you're gonna do the same thing my nephew did.
Yeah.
So
you gotta be careful.
But back to your paperwork there on that deal. Yes, it'd be great if all the landowners would just take 5 minutes of their time and answer all those questions. And most of it's an estimate anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be 100% accurate.
Because if they're showing that progress is going on out here, the government's gonna give us more money. Promise you.
Yeah. So,
what do the trappers do with the hogs after capture?
It depends on what the landowner wants.
Okay.
They can move them to a certain area on the property. Just leave them where they're at. It just depends what the landowner wants.
We just had the government trapper come out for hogs, and yes, hogs will chase you, and I'm also a Marine. That's awesome.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I was an Army guy. So I was the smart one. I sent the Marine to shoot the hogs. He probably won't listen to the show anymore. What else is going on in the big world of the Conservation District?
Well, with this project, we're going to have an education outreach on January 12th at Sayre, at the Activity Center there.
Yep.
We're going to have a couple speakers to kind of go over the program that's going on in Oklahoma. and the recent trapping efforts in Beckham and Roger Mills, just to kind of give a status update. We'd like to talk about the feral swine as an invasive species. So getting at the rate of the litters and how many litters, how many they can have in each litter, kind of stuff like that to educate people, and then why it's so important to do the trapping, not just hunting for fun.
Exactly.
But I'd really like to have RSVPs by January 10th. Lunch is going to be provided. So we're going to have that for the public. And
when is that?
January 12th. I'll make an event on our Facebook page. Okay, I haven't done that yet. But they can call the office and they can get a hold of me that way to give me an RSVP.
Yep. And that's at the Beckham County NRCS FSA building.
It'll be at the Beckham County Activity Barn.
Well, I know they can get a hold of you.
Oh, yes.
At the Beckham County NRCS FSA. Just call either one of them.
Yep.
Ask for Cassandra. You don't have to say Osher.
Yeah.
Just ask for Cassandra.
She's the only one there.
She's the only Cassandra there, promise you. I know them all in there. So, but anyway, she call her on that deal. And then what else we got going on?
So I'm just going to put a plug out here for this, our cost share program that we do every year. It's going to be coming out earlier than normal. Usually it's March, April timeframe, but the board is going to be discussing it at their January board meeting and see what practices that they're going to fund this year. We were able to get a lot more money this year. They changed things up, so we should be able to do a lot more for producers. We've done water wells, water lines, brush management, grass plantings, and then our plant sensors that I've talked about.
Yeah, the plant sensors, yep. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, it's a really cool project. This last year, the data that they have on the app that they collect, they changed so much. Like, there's so much more data that they can capture now, and it's fascinating to look through that and see how it's working.
Yeah, when I seen, where was I at? Was I out there? You brought one in here, didn't you?
Yeah,
you brought one in there. That plant sensor is just cool as heck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the concept is super simple, but it's actually complex. So we've got our cost share. Look for the announcement in the local newspapers, on our Facebook page. I think we have a Google page, too, that I'll put an announcement on. We'll start taking applications probably at the end of January.
For you people out there listening, don't mistake this with the NRCS EQIP.
Correct.
This is on the conservation, the Oklahoma side, the state side, and there's not millions of dollars involved here. There's thousands of dollars, but not millions here. So don't mistake that. This is just stuff that the conservation district helps out with the local landowners.
Yeah, it seems like pennies compared to EQIP.
Exactly.
But we still have a good pot of money that we can at least help out a couple people.
Yeah, your budget up till this year, one water well on the EQIP would eat your budget up. I got a question for you. Well, this is easy to answer, but I'll let you answer.
Okay.
This person is wanting to know, is there a program for Roger Mills County? He must not caught the first part of the program.
So the Feral Swine Project, we are in Beckham and Roger Mills,
combined.
Yes.
It's combined.
Is that what the Feral Swine is?
Yeah, I think that's what, this come up before you got too much into that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Because Roger Mills does have their own cost share program too.
Right. So, but this is the program before she was talking about this. On the feral hog, that is Beckham County, Roger Mills combined.
Yeah, and our event that we're having, if you're outside of that Beckham and Roger Mills, you're still more than welcome to come.
Right.
Because you can still learn.
Right.
So it's not just Beckham or Roger Mills County residents.
Yeah, because I might come and give you guys some secrets on my hog recipes for the baiting them.
Okay.
Yeah, Kool-Aid's involved.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm serious.
You might need to talk to Dustin about that.
I'm serious. Greg knows. He laughed at me when I told him.
Aww.
Anyway, but they.
But yeah, you should come up because you can provide questions and experience with the hogs to other landowners.
Yep. Hey, if you don't mind texting me back in, I don't know who it is texting me, but the Marine. How about you? Marine, text in. Are you talking about in Roger Mills County about the feral hogs? So anyway, if you don't mind texting me back real quick before I guess got a couple minutes left. See what he does. Oh, there he is. Yes, sir.
Okay, there we go.
We answered his question. Thank you. I'm a sergeant. I'm not an officer.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. Marines are my favorite to mess with. Aww. So anyway, I got a lot of Marine buddies. I got a grandson in the Marines right now. Aww. And he's home on his Christmas leave. And anyway, I was trying to get him to come up here, but he ain't come up yet.
No? Aww.
Yeah, because I got cattle calving. I can't go visiting. I'm gonna
gotcha. Be
so, and that was, again, January 12th at what time?
We're going to have registration at 9:30 and starts at 10 and goes to about 2 o'clock.
Okay, so. 4 hours and a meal.
Yeah, we like to keep it a little bit shorter. I think we get a better turnout that way.
Yeah.
You know, people are busy. It's hard to get stuff going on and someone to sit down for 8 hours. Like, that's just not doable.
No, it's not good at all. Well, we're about out of time. And Cassandra, thank you for coming in.
You are welcome.
If you've been listening today, Cassandra Osher from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District has been in here. We've been talking about the new thing they got going with feral hog control and some other things. They got money in for their cost share deals on all kinds of stuff, water wells, water lines, the sensors they're putting on cotton plants. Is it still just strictly cotton plants?
For around here, yes, unless it's corn, which I don't see a whole lot of corn in Beckham County. So.
There is. It's in the southern part. Kiowa County and down south of Altus, I know there's blue coos of corn.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a coming thing, though. They figured out a dry land variety for western Oklahoma.
Really?
And summer before last when it was just dry, that corn was out there just looking like crap. And it made corn.
Huh.
So anyways, they got some good things going. So if you got some corn growing in Beckham County, maybe you need to call them. They might want to experiment with you. One more question before you go. Here we go. They should get some of these. They should get some of these wild hogs and someone donate their time and give the meat to the food banks.
Possible.
But I don't say on wild hogs, they probably had to be inspected because
they can carry a lot of diseases.
They carry a lot of parasites.
Yeah.
And so anyway, there's a lot of people that eat them and cook them. Don't get me wrong. But when you start giving it to the public, you probably want to make sure you're giving the good stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for texting in and thank you for being on the show.
Yes, you're welcome, Jim.
It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting the second annual Ag Tech Open Invitational this January 15th. Be at the Western Equipment John Deere dealership in Plainview, Texas for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $25,000 in prizes. This competition is for any high school junior or senior that has an interest in mechanics, agriculture, or who just wants to win prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. There will be a career expo to learn all about Western Equipment and job opportunities to pursue within the company. There are limited spots, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, December 14th, we sold 1,069 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, December 16th, we sold 2,674 kids and feeders for a total of 3,743 cattle for the week. We will be closed for 2 weeks. We'll be back Tuesday, January the 4th. Tuesday, better killing cows brought 69 to 782. Then cows bring 40 up to 59.5. Bulls bring 60 to 95. 2 day year old bred cows, 885 to 1085. With a 2 to 4 year old pairs bringing 1550. Hunter steer cattle, 11 steers weighing 284, bring 232. 3 to 350 steers, $2 to 230. 19 steers weighing 405, bring 235. 450 to 5 weights, 178.50 to 206. 6 to 650, 148 to 168. 7 to 750, 142 to 158. 8 to 850, 145 to 158 and a quarter. 9 to 950, 148 to 152. And 42 steers weighing 1,001, bring 145.50. On our heifers, 7 heifers weighing 230, bring 230. 3 to 350, 168 to 208. 4 to 450, 157 to 170. 5 to 550, 138 to 152. 6 to 650, 135 to 146.5. 7 to 750, 141 to 145.50. And 8 to 850, 147.50 to 148. And 9 heifers weighing 918, bring 130. Again, this is our last sale for this year. We definitely appreciate your business. We hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll be back Tuesday, January the 4th. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, there she is. My mezzanette's back up. I had to go to the National Weather Service. Now I'm back up to my favorite one. 59 degrees, humidity's at 23%. The winds are out of the west, southwest at 11 miles an hour, 16 mile an hour gusts. The Lone Ranger forecast, 65 for a high today with the winds out of the west. Tonight, 31. Tomorrow, 65 with southwest winds again. 42 tomorrow night. 66 on Friday with a 30% chance of rain. Then Friday night, it's going to get chilly. 18 for a low with a still another 30% chance of rain. New Year's Day, Saturday, 28 for a high with winds out of the north. 16 to 22 miles an hour, gusting up to 30. I'm going quail hunting. Anyway, Saturday night, 7 for a low, high Sunday, 48. So please get your stuff winterized between now and Friday night. Be a good time to do it because 7 degrees will freeze, 18 degrees will freeze and bust some pipes and stuff. So get everything ready out. Don't forget to turn that light back on in your well house. I didn't even turn mine off. I guess I need to go check the light bulb. But anyway, I'm having a hard time picking which one I want to do here because I got some good stuff. I'm going to do the one with the horses. There was a article out in the Hay and Forage Grower, debunking horse hay myths. Here we go. Hay is for horses, but what kind of hay? While it is a fact that these animals require high quality forage, there is some discrepancy between what horse owners believe to be true and what actually is true when it comes to hay selection. Extension specialists with the University of Kentucky identified 8 hay myths that have developed within the horse community. These were discussed in a recent issue of the Kentucky's Equine Science Review. Not everything about these myths is necessarily false, but they need to be rectified. Second cutting of alfalfa is the best cutting. Cool season grasses only produce seed heads once in the spring, usually near the second time of the first cutting. If the producers don't cut soon enough, fiber will elevate in the crop and the hay quality will decline because subsequent cuttings are not affected by seed heads, it has been assumed that the hay from these harvests will be better. Hay quality is dictated by its stage of maturity, not cutting number. First cutting can be high quality if cut early enough. Second cutting can be low quality if cut too late. Extension forage specialists remind high quality hay can be harvested from late spring to late fall if weather and management conditions are right. All right, it's true. Even in irrigated alfalfa, it's true. This is talking about dry land, but even in irrigated alfalfa, guy delays 3 or 4 days because big rain's moving in. Blah, blah, blah. But anyway, it's the same thing with irrigated alfalfa. Myth number 2, horses require higher quality hay than cattle. In theory, this is technically true. Horses are monogastric, so they are less efficient at digesting fiber compared to their ruminant counterparts. Cattle can break down low quality forage to access nutrients that horses cannot. However, hay quality should be ultimately determined based on each individual animal's need, not on their digestive system. An easy-keeping quarter horse in light work does not need the same quality of hay as a thoroughbred at the peak of its racing career. Consider the body condition, level of work, and pasture availability of your horse, then choose the hay that will meet these needs. Blank is the best type of hay. Different forages grow in different soils and climates. If horse owners purchase hay from a new area of the country, they might attribute it to a variable quality of the type of forage it consists of. But hay quality is not related to forage species or variety. Forages are either grasses or legumes. While legumes will be higher in quality than grasses if managed and harvested correctly, different species of grass and different species of legumes bear little variation on the quality within their respective categories when other factors are held constant. Store round bales and silage contain diseases like botulism. That bacteria prefers more moist conditions. Round bales and silage are a risk of harboring this disease. Moisture content is high, but it can be prevented with proper storage, handling, and feeding practices. Round bales should be covered when stored and fed using a feeder to reduce contamination from trampling and urination. Round bales that show clear signs of mold should not be fed to horses. Silage is stored at high moisture contact in a point that in round bales and must be kept airtight until feeding. Always test silage for forage quality and consult a veterinarian about the use of vaccination against that to protect horses. Don't feed the hay that has been rained on. That's myth number 5. Some of the rain's negative consequences include prolonging plant respiration, causing leaf shatter, and promoting mold growth in hay. Even if it has been rained on, hay can still retain acceptable quality depending on several factors. This includes type of hay, how much rain fell, the intensity of rainfall, and stage of curing with when it rained, and actions the producer has taken to mitigate the rain's effect. Myth number 6, hay should be stored for 6 weeks before feeding. Hay can essentially be fed at any time after it's harvested. If testing hay for quality though waiting 6 weeks will ensure test accuracy, when hay is put into storage, it will cure for 4 to 8 weeks, and its quality can change slightly during this time. Feeding hay sooner will not be harmful to the horses, but it will be difficult to balance the ration because the quality of the hay is unknown. Brown hay is bad. Brown hay can, in fact, indicate if it was harvested too late or lost its color due to processing like heating or bleaching, although it's likely the green hay would have undergone the same circumstances and would be of higher quality. Color is not a reliable factor to consider when evaluating hay. Myth number 8, feeding hay causes hay belly. Hay belly occurs when malnutrition horses consume large amounts of low-quality, high-fiber hay. Animals will appear thin over their neck, ribs, and hindquarters, but their bellies will be distended as a result of eating too much hay. To avoid this, formulate a balanced ration including high-quality hay. Horses will be better able to maintain ideal body conditions without eating an excessive amount. And there you have it on the horses, on your myths. I will tell you, in Oklahoma, especially western Oklahoma, not always, but sometimes, the fourth cutting, this year it was the third cutting, the blister bugs move in. And blister bugs are a bad deal for horses. And so when you're buying hay for your horses, make sure that you talk to your producer, your hay producer, to see if there was any blister bugs in the area. Because when I'm cutting my alfalfa hay and there's blister bugs in it, I see them. They, when you go through them, they get on your window, you know there's blister bugs in your deal. So blister bugs can also kill cattle, but it takes, they said, like 2 gallons of blister bugs to kill a cow, but it'll still make them sick, and it doesn't take a whole lot, but quite a bit of blister bugs that will harm a horse. Their system is not set up for it. So anyway, tomorrow I'll get to this one deal here, so we'll be good to go. Then I want to talk to you about the interpreting rate tables for doing custom farming in Western Oklahoma. I come out with a good one in Eastern Texas Panhandle. Well, hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Come back tomorrow. Can you feed cottonseed hogs or cotton burgers to goats? I honestly don't know. You need to talk to somebody that knows about goats, the feeding cottonseed hogs. So anyway, have a great day. God bless. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest stars in country music.
Here they are.
Yeah. Hi, this is Sarah Evans.
Hi, this is Tracy Lawrence.
This is KECO, Elk City.